sinners are sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the law. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgives.
Oh.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one leaves countries. Lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. So get out there and spread the word because there's some really good hosts on UCY.TV. So, like I said, get out there, spread the word. People are starting to wake up. People are starting to ask questions. So get them involved with a little network that has some really good hosts on here that know what the hell they're talking about. Really good researchers. Anyways, it's the 6th of March. And we saw a few snowflakes today, not too many. And I just want to touch on, let's see, one, two, three things pretty quick. And then I think I'll bring Mr. Punjabi from Kingston on, who's hopefully going to be in a position to teach us the official second language of Canada, which isn't going to be French. So anyways, a couple things I want to touch on quick from the, I love this thing. It makes my life easy, especially for these shows, right? Canadian Brainwashing Corporation or the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, whichever you prefer, unless you can come up with something else. Anyways, this is an interesting story. The Calgary Fire Chief does a slow burn over response time increase proposal. Calgary Fire Department Chief Steve Dongworth says move increases risk to people and property. So apparently in Calgary, the chief doesn't agree with a move to lower the target for responding to fire calls on the outskirts of the city. City Council's Planning and Urban Development Committee, read UN, Urban Development and Committee, voted Monday to recommend a 10-minute response time for future communities on the city's edge. That's a departure from the current citywide target of having a fire truck on the scene of a fire call within 7 minutes, 90% of the time. The change will only affect future communities, and it is seen as an interim move until the department is fully funded. The chief told the committee he is opposed to the change. You increase risk to people and property and the environment by virtue of that longer response time. That's what it's about. The fire chief went on to say the committee's decision means councillors accept that risk. Councillors on the fire on the committee voted 6-3 to vary the response time target. Councillor Ward Sutherland or Councilor Ward Sutherland said he doesn't consider this to be an Armageddon issue for the city, because once a new community moves closer to being built out and has a substantial population, a fire station will follow. I know the fire department does their job, said Sutherland. This is the world of risk mitigation, and part of our responsibility is to balance, unfortunately, finances and risk mitigation. But another counselor, Drew Farrell, said she's concerned the decision will create a two-tier city. She said citizens should have the same expectations about city services no matter where they live in Calgary. Then there's the matter of whether future residents of a community on the fringes of Calgary will even know about the different response times. We didn't commit to informing Calgarians who are moving into new communities that their emergency services will be reduced and different than other parts of the city, said Farrell. The head of the Calgary Firefighters Association said he's concerned the city is heading in the wrong direction with its fire services. Mike Carter said the city should be doing more to ensure it can meet the existing service target. Currently on the outskirts, the committee was told the response to calls takes 8 minutes and 25 seconds, which is above the 7-minute target. If we're not going meeting that goal now, then I would suggest we're underfunded and under-resourced, which I mean we are compared to other municipalities, said Carter. More than half of the fire department's calls are for medical calls. Often the first responders are on the scene of a medical call before EMS paramedics. Now, what does this got to do with something? I saw a video, it's probably 8 years ago now, a planner's video from Calgary. It's got to be 8 years ago at least. And I've never been able to find it. It may be on one of my computers. But they had a long discussion about this very thing. And the discussion was about lower services for those outside of the cities and higher taxes for those outside the city. And it was for EMS, it was for fire, it was for snow plowing, garbage pickup, all the rest of it. Any service that the city provides to the population. And their logic was that, you know, if you send a plow or a garbage truck or whatever service into an area of the city where it's all high rises and that, high density housing, the cost to plow or pick up garbage is greatly reduced because everything is so compacted. And it's not fair to those living in the city to have to pay more than their fair share for people, like a plow goes down the road and there's only, you know, one house every half mile or whatever. Whereas in the city, you've got 10,000 people living in a block or two. So it's all the UN Agenda 21 crap to drive people into the city by continually reducing services, by continually jacking the taxes for the services for those who are not living in the compact stack and pack areas. So this looks like a step in that direction. Any council that would say, well, okay, they live out there, so we're going to make longer response times. But if you're in here, you get preference. And that's just what that story reminds me of, and I'm sure this is part of what's going on. Now, another story that's kind of another UN nonsensical thing is the story of Hamilton getting beat up. Hamilton, Ontario, with this group of people who And again, because the police have been internationalized, and if you want to know that, you can go to the internationalization of the police. Just Google that in and you'll find that the city police chiefs, just like the city mayors, are all internationalized. And that's a bad thing. So, okay, I'll have to dig that story out. It's why is this not clicking? What the hell? Why is this jammed up? Da di da di da di da. Okay, so we have Hamilton landlords say they warned police about the anti-gentrification activists months ago. Mass mob dressed in black vandalized streets in Hamilton. Now, these people went downtown Hamilton, dressed in apparently black, with a sign that said the ungovernables or something, and did $100,000 damage down on a street in Hamilton, which was an old street that was bought up by businesses and, you know, put in, you know, latte shops and that, which I really don't see in Hamilton myself. But anyways, so they're wandering around Lock Street in Hamilton, you know, putting rocks through windows and smashing things up. Apparently they did $100,000 worth of damage. And we all know that the police hang around downtown in any city, but they figured this was a group of about 30 people, and the police missed it. Well, that ain't possible. Absolutely not possible. This is all about putting fear into the people. It's about it's about the police not doing their job, and they were obviously told to stand down. If 30 people, I mean, if you're staggering down the street in the city, some cop's going to pull you over. And you don't just wander down a Lock Street in Hamilton, busting out windows all over the place, and the police don't notice it. Police say a number of storefronts on Lock Street and vehicles were damaged by the group overnight. Police say there were no reported injuries. This is a criminal act, no doubt about it. It's not a peaceful assembly of people, obviously, so it's being investigated as such, said Hamilton Police Inspector Paul Hamilton. It's a good place for a Hamilton to work in Hamilton, I guess, who is a duty inspector that last night. Right now, my estimate is that there are there's 10 mischiefs occurred, and we've located, and that includes businesses along Lock as well as some vehicles in around the area, and the estimate is about $100,000 worth of damage, said Hamilton. Police say the group quickly dispersed upon arrival of the police, many discarding their clothing as they fled. Let's see, they're running on foot and you got cars. Right. We collected a number of pieces of evidence that were left behind, and we're going to continue the investigation with hopes of laying some charges at some point, said Hamilton. MPP for, now this really, this is all UN shit. MPP for Hamilton Center in Ontario, NDP leader Andrea, I just call her Andrea, it's Horworth, but I just call her Andrea, United Nations whore, went on Twitter last night to say that she was extremely concerned about what has happened in her neighborhood. In a news release Sunday, The horror announced that she's calling for people to come together March 10th to support the businesses on Lock Street. She called it a # Love Lock Day and wants to show that the community won't be intimidated while supporting hardworking local businesses that have been damaged. Let's come together to greet each other as neighbors. Shop local on Lock. And show these vandals that this attack will only make us stronger, said the horror of the NDP party. Lock Street Business Improvement Association Chair Tony Grease says, it's a sad day for our neighborhood, for our businesses. Most of these businesses are independently owned, mom and pop shops on their feet for 12 hours a day. It's going to be costly for some of them. In a statement Sunday, Hamilton Mayor Fred Eisenberger said that he was disappointed by the random and seemingly seamless acts or senseless acts of violence and vandalism. The damage inflicted on Lock Street properties was abhorrent, unjustified, and against what we believe is Hamiltonians. I encourage everyone to show their support and visit the Lock Street IA shops and continue to support these small businesses. These crimes are shameful, Ward 1 Counselor Adrian Johnson told CBC. It is inspiring to see so many friends from all over Hamilton on Lock Street today showing solidarity with the merchants and the workers of Lock Street. We're looking at any possible links to a book fair that was being held in the city yesterday. There's an anarchist book fair being held at Russelldale High School all weekends in Hamilton. Hamilton says police haven't identified any suspect, a specific group. It's just the fact that we are aware this book fair was taking place. Anyways, this is just another piece of chaos. That's being, we are the ungovernables. Apparently, some people in Hamilton that were living in the poor part of Hamilton, where investors and that came and bought up these properties cheap and then ran those people out of those buildings, who probably had cheap apartments upstairs or whatever. Apparently they're not happy now. Where's this actually coming from? By listening to the politicians, the police, and the counselors, it's a UN project creating chaos. But the fact that 30-some people were running around smashing windows, carrying a big banner, the police didn't catch one of them is tells you something other is going on. Now, there's one more story I want to touch on briefly. And that one comes to us from Edmund Chuck. If it's still around. Here's RCMP sloppy and negligent in investigating Colton Bushy's death, say independent experts. Well, yeah, the police do what the police are told to do, and they chase down who they're told to chase down. They don't chase down who they're told not to chase down. And if they were actually upholding the law, all the politicians would be in jail, wouldn't they? So, let's see. Science guy Bill Nye prods Trudeau to explain rationale behind Kinder Morgan, the pipeline. Now, when the science guy Bill Nye is prodding Trudeau, what exactly does that mean? I don't even like the sound of that. I don't even like the picture I just got in my head. That's not good. Okay, where is it I'm looking for here? Ebenchuk. Oh, here we go. Now, Edmonton hosted a climate change thing, and they brought in mayors from all over Hell's Half Acre, the global mayors, and that story seems to have that just took place too. Smart network for view. Okay, what's this one here? Let's look at this first. Edmonton, I'm surprised, you know, because Alberta is really up to their eyeballs in this nonsense. Edmonton to host Canada's first smart network for vehicles. Professor says it's a marriage between smart vehicles and smart infrastructure. The University of Alberta and the city of Edmonton are lending new meaning to smart cars. Researchers from the university's engineering department are working on a pilot technology called connected vehicles aimed at creating a safer, quicker, and more efficient commute. With the integrated system, vehicles will use wireless internet to share information or talk with each other through a central communications. Lead researcher Tony Coy, an associate professor of transportation engineering at the U of A, describes it as a marriage between the smart vehicle and the smart infrastructure to improve daily life. Vehicles with the technology will be able to inform each other about road conditions, how long a green light will last, or when pedestrians are about to cross the road. He explained that the Chinese government aims to have these smart cars made. Cars make up 50% of its new vehicles by 2020. Smart vehicles, as opposed to self-driving vehicles, can collect information from inside and outside. Spokesman for the university's Active Aurora project said they've placed sensors along the roadside on the Anthony Hende White Mud Drive and 23rd Avenue. These pick up on the activity around from the transmit to the information to a central hub. There's a lot of interest right now in the kind of technology that makes the driver more aware of the environment around them. Well, if you're driving a vehicle and you ain't aware of the environment around you, you ought not to be in that vehicle. Simple as that. She said the technology will improve safety and travel times by regulating traffic, allowing people to get to their destination more quickly. A lot of car manufacturers starting to put this technology in the vehicles, of which I won't be buying. Thank you very much. I think it's critically important that to being prepared as a city for the future of transportation. Yada, 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 yeah. So I can't even find the story in here now of the mayors for sustainable development and climate change, which was just in here. It just took place. I don't even see the story now. It seems to have disappeared. So Edmonton's sustainability report, which was this was about, maybe there's a link to the story before. Nope. But what they came out with here now is Edmonton's sustainability expert shares tips for building tiny home. Kenton's Brin's Tiny Homes 101 course teaches people about building and designing compact homes. They used to teach in the school system, but wanted to impact impart something he thought would be more useful to students. I wanted to find something that was relevant to kids for tomorrow and for today. He started to learn about permaculture and tiny homes. On Monday, the 30-year-old taught his latest course on tiny homes to 44 people in Edmonton. He will reach out in a series of courses called Tiny Homes 101 over the next couple of months. The idea of building compact homes has been around for a long time, but has picked up steam recently. With the increased popularity came increased creativity. People are really maximizing their space. They're getting some really beautiful homes. He helped design and build his 380 square foot home for me to actually build and be part of the design process for designing and building my own house. I was extremely liberating. He said, there were definitely mistakes that I made, yada, yada, yada. Now, let me just think here. 380 square feet is way smaller than a double garage. Way smaller than a double garage. And this is the kind of garbage that's being tossed at us now from every direction. Like I said, you can take the entire population of Tokyo, Japan, greater metropolitan Tokyo, Japan, which is 38 million people, and stuff it into three counties where I live. Bruce County, not quite four counties. Bruce County, from where I live, takes me about, 30 minutes to get out of Bruce County. I can cut across Gray County in about another 20 minutes. And Dufferin, probably 15 minutes. And then Simcoe counties. It's the same space as metropolitan Tokyo, which is 38 million people, which is a dot in southwestern Ontario, four counties. Edmonton, or Alberta rather, is empty. You got Edmonton, you got Red Deer, you got Calgary, you got Lethbridge and Medicine Hat. That's it. And a couple, little towns here and there. But that's it. I'm not sure what the population of I would think the population of Alberta probably isn't a hell of a lot more than 3 million people. And you build in 380 square foot homes. Like, give your head a freaking shake. Okay, Canadians got to be some of the dumbest bulbs on the freaking planet. We got more space per capita than anybody else on the freaking planet. And we're busy building smart vehicle roads. I mean, you think about it. Calgary is just over a million people. And then once you get out of Calgary, you're not going to run into it for a long time. It's 3 hours between Calgary and Edmonton. I think Edmonton, I don't know what it is, 800,000 or whatever. Okay, so we don't need smart grid roads. We don't need smart cars. We don't need tiny homes. We don't need the UN. Okay, and they just had a big sustainability thing with climate change nonsense in Edmonton. Get these people the hell out of our country. This second half hour of the show tonight is brought to you by the new second language of Canada, Punjabi. And we do have a Punjabi instructor with us tonight. tonight, right? Mr. Punjabi.
Yeah. Well, soon to be, apparently.
You know, I actually saw, I was looking, I ran into something about trucking probably, I don't know, 3, 4, 6 months ago. And I don't know, it was that site that you sent me, but there was a bunch of Punjabi truck driver videos on it, right? Because that's who's going to be driving your trucks. Like my nephews out west, my one nephew runs trucks up in the oil area. And he said it's almost all Muslim now, right? It's freaky, you know. So when they don't even have French in that thing you sent, that magazine, online magazine, or whatever. I don't even see any French there. They have English and Punjabi.
Well, what's funny? Well, it's not funny, but the contents. If you go to contents. I have the actual magazine, the one you got to lick your fingers and turn the pages.
Oh, you got the real one.
I have the hard copy. And when you go to contents, it gives you automatic emergency brakes or the next big thing. And then below it, it's in Punjabi. And then it goes on and it gives you the English version. And then it's Punjabi. English version, Punjabi. English, all the way down. It's incredible. And then, you know, and then you flip the page. Well, you know, every page is the same, but, you know, huge opportunities awaiting careers. And then right beside it, it's the same thing in Punjabi. The whole article is in English first, Punjabi second. So who's driving our transports now? Combined letter on proposed changes to hours at port of Beecher Falls, I think it's Vermont. Right beside it, the full article in Punjabi. Now hiring. And they give you the explanation, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then right beside it, Punjabi. I don't know if that's a language. I know that's Indian. I don't know what the actual language is, but what I'm saying is, in the United States, I think they have one official language. You know, they have several unofficial languages, but there's one, and that's English. In Canada, we're forced to have two, which divides us 50% right there, which, you know, we know is done by design. But it's English and French. So why are these government-mandated magazines coming out with no French in them? English and Punjabi. That's the only two languages you get in this magazine. And this is a very glossy magazine, by the way. I can flip through it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's when I was supposed to, when I went to give that talk in London that time.
Next to telematics, predicts risky behavior. And it's Raj Parjika is the author of this article. Okay? Right? New Brunswick launches 2018 carbon pricing program. And then beside it, you get the full article in Punjabi.
Well, you know,
and this is we paid for this as taxpayers.
Well, that's a government magazine. Well, you know, we have to pay. We have to welcome everybody and we have to pay them. And you know, there's, you know, the trucking industry has really, you know, changed colors, so to speak. You know, so many of the truck drivers now are not European truck drivers. That's for damn sure. So I guess the government is a government issued magazine, so I guess they have a plan. But all of their plans, you got to understand, right? All of their plans are for, you know, our betterment. You know, I mean, I remember when I was, you know, a young teenager, and we would go down to Toronto and that, you know, but the only language I heard down there was English. And now apparently they got 122 languages. You know, isn't that exciting? You know, so Punjabi is, I guess that's risen to the top. But even when I went to London, Chris, you know, they managed to get the talk. I think it was advertised in a paper. And they sent me the paper. And I go, what is this? I can't even read it. Like, what is this stuff? It was all Arabic. There was a few little bits of English in it. But 85% at least was something I couldn't read. And I'm going, this is from London, Ontario? And they go, well, yeah, 20% of the population is Arabic. How the hell that happen? You know? So, you know, I almost wish I lived in a bigger center. Oh, I got to tell you this, Chris. I got to tell you this because this is a grocery store story. And you always have a grocery store story from Kingston. There was a family in the grocery store last time we were there, and the woman was wearing like a hijab or whatever you call it, a headscarf or scarf. And it was amazing to watch because most of the people here, I mean, 98% or more are white. But I'm seeing the trickle in now starting to take place. I'm starting to see more Asians in the grocery store. I'm starting to see more Muslims in the grocery store. And going, But it was really amazing to watch because all these old white guys and women, right, because we have an older population in this town, every time I watch one of them see this woman with this headscarf on and that, they would just stare. Like it's seeing something that ain't supposed to be there, right? It was really weird to watch. Nobody's saying nothing, but everybody's kind of doing a double take and a stare, right? Like, we heard about this shit in the city, but what's it doing here? So, you know, maybe we're going to hire some truck drivers here, and maybe we'll take a course in whatever language it is that we need to learn. But this isn't going to work, you know, it can't work, because none of these people mix. And, you know, as the population changes out more, there's going to be more, well, there's going to be some conflict. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The only problem is that the state police are on the side of, isn't that amazing? Hey, the state police are on the side of those we're being brought in here by the UN and George Soros and the rest of these dumbass politicians and that. And, you know, if you look at one crooked, you're going to get a hard time. If they give you a hard time, well, you must have said something to upset them. It was going to be the attitude, right? So our own so-called police force, are not on side with us, but then the police have been internationalized. I mean, I invite everybody to go look up international police chiefs, look up international mayors, look up international religion, look up international education. I mean, it's all there. It's right in your face. The very basics, or the base of our society is being withdrawn from us. And apparently, so far, people think there's nothing we can do about it. But something has to get done about it. Because it can't continue.
I have in my, the main the main, I mean, your choices are becoming very limited as to where you shop. You got one of two monopolies, and they have subsidiaries that you can shop at, which means the lower grocery stores where the stuff becomes day old, they send it to the secondary stores, which they own, and right. You got two choices, either Loblaws or Metro, and that's what we have here in my town now. And one of them is Freshco, and unfortunately for me, it happens to be in my neighborhood. I would say on a daily basis, 70% of the populace that goes into that store are not of white European blood. And that concerns me every day, all day. And that's why my kids won't go into the store with me, because I let them know it. And what are they going to do to me? You know, like, they know I'm telling the truth. And if they call the cops aren't going to say nothing to me, because the cops know me well enough that they're just going to shake their head and say, "Oh, that's just him." You know, they don't want to get involved, but I see it. I see it all around me, but unfortunately, I'm seeing it around me quicker than the rest of us around my town. And it's a bit concerning. I do have something for you though, Ron.
What?
Driver turnover rate is increased by 95% at big trucking firms. All right. Now you got the article. I'm not going to read it to you because it'll take your whole show. But right beside it, it's in Punjabi.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're set up to take over the trucking industry. Simple as that.
Yeah. 95%. Thank you.
Turnover.
For a moment. The 5% you have left are the tough boys. Like, I got a couple of friends that drive transport, and they can drive anything. Like, they can drag your house down the 401 if they want. I mean, you know. And they're very good at it and done it for a long time. But as they die off or retire, government prefers them dying off, I'm sure. 95% turnaround. And then the article beside it is Punjab. So who's taking over 95% of these drivers? Just curious.
Well, I'm thinking.
It's not you. It's not me. I drive truck. Geez, that's a nice. I'd love to be able to sit in a big rig and just drive all day.
Oh, I would.
Hell, I didn't save my back.
I knew truckers and out west and that. And that's.
And then you got female driver outreach required.
Oh, right.
It's not Punjabis. You know, you got to have women in there, of course.
Yeah.
You
know. So the only one that doesn't fit the slot is a white male, right?
White European blood male, correct.
Yeah, it doesn't fit anywhere anymore. You know, that needs to change. I see that Jack McLaren got kicked out of, somebody sent me a video, that's from February the 22nd. He put a bill in, 197 or something. He was conservative, and they kicked him out of the conservative caucus, and then he became a, what the hell is he now? A, not Wild Rose, he's a Trillium Party candidate. But he's sitting in the House as an independent, and he brought in Bill 197 because he looked at the Green Energy Act, an Employment Act, and there was supposed to be a bill done to protect consumers against high rates, and it was never done. It was supposed to be done from, let's see, that came in 2004, 2007, somewhere in there. And the Liberals never did it. And so, you know, he's standing there with his Bill 197, which was debated in the House, I guess, and then he had 2 minutes to respond after the debate was over or something. And he brought up this thing that the Liberal Party actually broke the law, and he was mad because the rest of the legislature didn't hold the Liberals to task. And so the, what do you call it, the chair of the House or whatever they're called, asked him to retract his statement. And he said, and he kind of stood there, he was kind of shocked. And she said the same thing again, and he says, well, I can't retract the truth. And then they had him removed from the House, or from the legislature. And so I guess after, when they removed him, the opposition was pissed off, and they had a vote, a second reading vote. And I guess everybody was so mad that Jack McLaren got tossed for telling the truth that they voted yes on the bill, right? So I haven't read the bill yet. I got it up here somewhere. I'll read it at some point just to see what the bill was. But it was about restructuring this stuff so that we stop getting burned all the time. But this is how bad it is. I mean, they say, she says, you got to retract that or whatever. And he says, I can't. I can't retract the truth. Right? And so they just had him, the security took him out, so to speak.
Well, wait, on page 39, we got Ontario's subsidized electric trucks and green vehicles under GVC program, commercial green fleet. Right? I won't read you the article, but below it, right below it, it's not in French.
Don't tell me it's in Punjabi.
Surprise. And then, here's one better. Tips on keeping your equipment well-maintained. And a big sign, and this is on page 43, tips on keeping your equipment well-maintained. By Amrit Ujjali. Safety first is a big sign they show, right?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't put that in Punjabi. They just kept that one in English. I guess that's only for English people.
Well, yeah, we don't worry about
it. European blood. But they don't have that 50-50 like they have everything else. So I guess safety is only for us. How to keep our equipment.
Well, I think they took the safety out of it because if one of them decides to take a truck and run over a bunch of people walking down the sidewalk, they'll say, we didn't put that part, that safety first part in Punjabi, right? We didn't know nothing about it, you know? So I don't know why. I think Punjabi is a pretty well, like, it's a pretty normal language. It would be like we have so many different languages here. I think Punjabi is kind of like would be the English-French equivalent in India. It would be the major language, I guess.
Oh.
You know, because when I talk to the...
To not in my guy, country.
Well, I was talking to a guy from India... And about you know how many different languages are, and that there's hordes of them, right? You know, it's all local languages, right? You know, so Punjabi is probably the most spoken language, and other people speak their own languages, just like when the Germans, you know, their home, they speak their own language, the Italians. Speak their own language in their own homes. But when
why do we pay for it?
Well, but the sad part is, right? You know, all of these other Europeans that came to Canada, all of the people that came to Canada originally, they came from all over the place, but Europe. But they all spoke different dialects, different languages. And it was decided that it was English and French were the two languages. So everybody learned to speak one, two, whatever. But be it you're Polish or Italian or Greek or German, you know, a lot of those people spoke their language in their homes. Main reason was to teach, they were probably more comfortable with it, and to teach their children their native languages, right? But when they go out working, you don't see a truck driving article like you're reading, you know, in English, Italian, German, Greek, you know, or what all these other languages. It was in English and French. Now it's in Punjabi and English, right? And that's just plain wrong. You want to speak Punjabi in your home, you want to speak Punjabi in your community center, fill your boots. But when you're out here in the general public in Canada, we only have two official languages, and Punjabi ain't one of them. Or at least as far as I know, it ain't. So this is changing the whole game plan completely. Well,
the truck driver happens to be one of my best friends that gave me this. He does a Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, you know, lives in Kingston, but...
Yeah, so he's a short haul driver.
Yeah, for 25 years. And he said, you know, you go to Toronto, man, he says, and even the Punjabis that are paying, they ask other Punjabis to give them cash, because otherwise they will not get paid. And how pathetic is that? I mean, these guys are taking over our country, but and they're still ripping each other off.
Well, yeah.
How much more ridiculous does it get? I mean, these fucking idiots are... Oh, yeah, good, it's Tuesday night. These idiots don't... these idiots don't even have it together enough to protect themselves enough to steal our country. They got to rip each other off in the interim.
Yeah. You know, that's
and that's
the way
what
it
blows
is.
His mind. He says, it's just like, I can see them do that to us, and they do, which, you know, I've done a contract that I'm still owed a lot of money on because I did it for Punjabis. And with that, had nothing to do with trucking. But in the trucking industry, he said, no, he said, it's not just you, Chris. He said, they do it to each other. I mean, these guys eat themselves from the inside out, just like the Jews. They don't have no clue. They just... greed and power and taking over what you got is all they got in their mind. They don't even care if they kill their own babies. I mean, the guys are, wow, man. No morals, no scruples, no, I don't know. It all seems to be lost in the fray.
But yeah, and then you got to ask what the hell they're doing here, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they just, they're finding spots for them, and then they're driving the white people. I'm sure there's lots of young guys that would like to drive a truck, because the money is better than working at the gas station. But they're not being given any opportunities. You know,
Punjabis own all the gas stations.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Well, they get government grants for it.
Well, see, they get, yeah, that's the other problem. They get government grants for all kinds of things. One of them starting businesses. Like when they called me about, I had a business at the time about selling it, and that they have that plan so that if you're, you know, whatever it is you're doing, a small business, that they will fund the purchase of it. So, like, a lot of people who have small businesses, like small contractors, when they're done, they just shut it down. And so, but they will buy, they will give you a value for it that you weren't even thinking about getting. But only if an immigrant takes it over. If there's a white kid in your neighborhood, maybe he's been working with you. And wants to take the business over. He can't get it funded. Now, if an immigrant that you never met before, if you're willing to sell it to that immigrant, so he comes from whatever country, lands here, instantly owns a business, which is funded by you and everybody else in the country. But a young guy who's white, who was born here, doesn't qualify for that. And that is wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, badass wrong. So I don't even know how I would learn to speak Punjabi. Holy crap.
Well, I was hoping you would give us a lesson tonight so we could know how to at least speak back to them. But they know how to speak English. Hello? Oh, that's Chinese. Oh, that's Vancouver. Sorry, yeah. wrong end of the country.
Yeah, I know. We're being invaded from every direction, man. It's not good. But, you know, what are you going to do about it right now? This headline still bothers me. Science guy Bill Nye prods Trudeau. I don't like the sound of that. Bill Nye has a message for climate change deniers. Respect facts, he says. Well, I do respect facts, and you ain't got none, right? It's just ridiculous. But, Sunday, this is what? No, this is Tuesday, right? This is Tuesday? Yeah, it is Tuesday.
It is.
I was looking at secular. I'm probably going to do that on Sunday, maybe. I got a couple hours. You know, where the hell did secular come from? So I got looking at it, and it appears it came from the Catholic Church. They have what they call Christian priests and dioceses, and then they have secular. Okay, that's the two-faced nonsense that's going on. Because we're in secular society. And so I got thinking, where in the hell did they come from? And it appears it came from Catholicism, which makes sense because Friedrich Nietzsche was at a Catholic trying to figure out how the young priest with the scientists, of which I couldn't deny the priest. So it's
selling lies and buying time.
Anyways, everybody study Punjab.